Guys get distracted. All right, welcome you guys. It's good to see you here, and we are continuing in our trip through the book of Amos, and so we are ready actually to start in chapter 7, verse 10. And if you will remember, Yahweh is showing him, I guess, a series of visions, for lack of a better term, and the last one, just in that previous little section in verse 7, he showed Amos that plumb line wall. Hi, Callie. Good to see you guys. Now we're getting somewhere.
Now we're.
That's all right. We haven't really started yet. So in verse 7, the plumb line wall, remember? And he's got this, he's got this plumb line in the middle of Israel. And he's not, again, going to pass over his judgment of the nation. So remember in the other visions, when Amos pleaded on their behalf, Israel's behalf, Yahweh relented from what he was going to do. This time he says he is not. All right. And that's where we ended up at verse 9, that the high places of Yitzchak will be desolated and the sanctuaries of Israel will again become, will become desolate again. And he's going to raise up, lift up a sword against Jeroboam. Okay, that's where we are. So we're about ready to start verse 10. Vayishlach Amatsya Kohen Beit El, El Yaravam Melech Yisrael Emor. Kashar Aleka Amos Bekerav Beit Yisrael. Lo Tukal Haaretz Lehakil Et Kol Devarav. All right. So we're at verse 10 there. And Amaziah the Kohen, the priest of Bethel, sent, Vayishlach, all right, to Jeroboam, the king of Israel. So notice, notice how in prose very often you have a personal name followed by the role that they play or their station. Sometimes that's reversed, okay? So notice how the author here is kind of explaining who they are. So you have kind of two elites, all right? So the priest and the king are in concert against the prophet, which we've seen in this book is one of the features, and we'll see it more here in this little section, all right? So just kind of look at that, because notice that both of those, both the personal name and the role that they play, are important to emphasize. And when you're reading other texts, just notice that, how they do that. So sometimes it'll be just David, sometimes David, the king of Israel, and so on, okay? So here's what he says, begin with kashar. That means to conspire, sometimes to bind, but against you. So Amos is the subject. And notice the word order, kashar aleka amos. Very often, usually, this is common, when you have a short prepositional phrase like aleka, that will come in between the subject and the verb. So it's a little odd for English, but that happens all the time. All right. So Amos has conspired against you. All right. Bekerav Beit Yisrael, in the midst of the house of Israel. All right, now notice you have the zakef there, so you pause. Lo tukal ha'eretz. So this is tukal is from yakal, to be able or to bear. So, and ha'eretz is the subject. Not is able. So the land is not able. Lehakil. This is from the root, everybody see the hollow root, cool. Hifil, infinitive construct from cool. And it means to contain. So the land cannot, cannot lehakil, contain et kol devarav, all his words. All right. Any questions through verse?
Yeah, I have a question.
Yes.
Which is that Jeroboam the second, right? Or is it the
Now you got me. Yeah, I think it's Jeroboam.
It's Jeroboam not the very first king after Solomon.
Right. Correct. Oh, okay. It's the second one, Jeroboam the second, and he ruled during this time in the 8th century. Remember, Samaria or the north was kind of at the height of their powers, That's why earlier in the book he talked about the richness. Remember the cows of Bashan who dwell in these ivory palaces and everything. So they were a very prosperous nation at this time. And so the thought of Samaria falling, you know, was kind of not on their radar. And others were prophesying. Remember that there's no way, during the time of Jeroboam, no way that that's going to happen. So, yeah.
So in that verse when it talks about the land not being able to contain all of his words, is that kind of synecdoche referring to the kingdom?
Yeah,
the
I think so. Yeah, it's not literally the ground, but it's the land as we would use it, you know, when talk about the nation as a whole. I think that's a good point, yeah.
Idiomatic.
Right. The nation is not able to contain all his words.
And can Dabar be like sentences even?
Yeah, it doesn't mean necessarily individual words, but when we say, here's the word of the preacher or something. You mean his speech.
Yeah, his
talk.
Discourse.
Yeah, his discourse. He just can't bear it. Yeah, I think that's another good point. Very good. Any other questions? All right. So now he starts telling Jeroboam the content of his message. Kiko amaramos, bacher v'yamut yaravam, v'yisrael, galo yigle me'al admato. Okay, so now you know why he's talking to Jeroboam. For thus Amos has said, okay, with the sword, Yamut Yar Av Am, Jeremiah will die. Okay, again, notice the word order. Prepositional phrase is fronted. So notice it's fronted that he's going to die a violent death. With the sword, or by the sword, will die Jeroboam. Okay? Ve Yisrael and Yisrael galo yigles. See the infinitive construct? Call infinitive infinitive absolute. Call infinitive absolute preceded by the finite verb preceding the finite verb of the same root, gala gala. So he's probably strengthening his affirmation, really asserting the truth of what he says. In English, we would probably translate it as, and Israel will certainly go into exile. Okay? From the land, or from his land, Admato. All right, so notice then how Amaziah summarizes Amos's messages both against the king and Israel. And again, you see how the fortunes of Israel are bound with the fortunes of the king, as it's always been. When the king prospers, the nation prospers. When the king is faithful, the nation is faithful, and vice versa. So you see that relationship in both narrative texts, and you see it in prophetic texts as well. And Amos, remember, a lot of it, his prophecy was directed against the elite, the powerful. Okay? Very good. Any other thoughts on verse 11? All right, here's the famous passage. Well, we're coming to the famous passages. Vayomer Amaziah el Amos, Choza, Lake, Berach lecha el Eretz Yehuda. Ve'ekol sham lechem v'sham tinave. All right. Then Amaziah said to Amos, Choza, O seer. Notice that this is from the root chazah, to see. There's three words that are predominantly used for a prophet in Hebrew. You guys all know Navi. And now here's another one, Choza. What's the third one? Similar to Choza. Roeh. A seer, roeh, okay. O seer, lake, from halach, so an imperative. O seer, go, barach, flee. So those are two imperatives just juxtaposed to each other. Go flee, all right, for yourself, lecha. This is probably like what we would call a dative of advantage. So we might say go flee for your life, or, you know, it's to your advantage to flee. It's kind of the thought. I don't know what the best way to translate. Some would say flee quickly, flee for your life, or something like that. To the land of Judah. Ve'echol, and eat their bread. Okay? Another imperative, echol. They're all call imperatives. And we would probably translate more loosely as make your living there, get your living there, you know. Eat your bread, eat your food there. Sham, and there tinave, you should prophesy. So here's a nifal imperfect from nava, All right, and again, this imperfect form has a kind of the function of a volitive of a command. You kind of see sometimes imperfects and imperatives switching back and forth. Okay. Very good. Any questions through verse 12? That's a famous verse, right? All right. Verse 13. Uvedel, lo tesifod le hinave ki mikdash melakhu uvet mam lachahu. All right, so here's Amaziah's speech continuing. And Bethel, do not add again to prophesy. Okay? So again, notice that idiom with the tosif, the hifil of yasaf, means to add, followed by the infinitive lehinave. Everybody see that? And again, the easiest way to handle that is to make tosif an adverb and lehinave as the finite verb. So against the house of, I'm sorry, and against Bethel, do not ever again, ode, see that ode? Do not yet again or ever again prophesy. Ki mikdash melech, for the sanctuary of the king is it, who? And the house of the kingdom is it. We might say the seat of the kingdom it is, or the house of the kingdom, okay? All right? So notice how, just look at the language, especially in that last one. I mean, he adds extra words there with the who and the who. You notice how he's being, I mean, you can almost hear, he's kind of just pounding it out, right? The house, or the sanctuary of the king it is, and the house of the kingdom it is. You know, so he's stressing the importance of Bethel. Especially because he's the priest of Bethel, all right? So, again, his speech, just notice kind of syntactical patterns. Don't make too big of a deal of it, but just notice the syntactical patterns and kind of how it adds this tone or nuance to what the prophet is saying to Amos. So he's being very deliberate, you know? Kind of, it's more like a pronunciation, you know, when you pronounce something, how you tend to be more formal, more deliberate. You don't shorten your words. Okay? All right, verse 14.
Verse 14. Tell you rares in Bethel, we're not buying.
That's right. Vayan Amos, here's his famous speech now. I've been waiting to get to this. Vayan Amos, vayomer el Amazia. Lo naviano ki, velo ben naviano ki, ki bokerano ki u voles shikmim. Okay, so Amos answered. Everybody see what's the root of Vayaan? Everybody, anyone tell me? It's from Anna, that's one of those third hey, to answer. Vayaan, remember when you have a vav consecutive that the verb shortens, the hey drops off. So Vayaan Amos. So then Amos answered Vayomer and said, kind of a typical formula, right? To Amaziah. To Amaziah, not a prophet am I, lo naviano ki. And probably by this he means I'm not a prophet by trade, I'm not a professional prophet. Velo ben naviano ki, and I'm not a son of a prophet. Okay, ki, but a boher. So this would be kind of something like, people suggest it's a cattle breeder or a cattle herder. Okay, bakar. I think it may be only used right here. For a cattle breeder am I, and a boles shikmim. Shikmim is sycamores. So something like a dresser of sycamore trees or a, you know. So if you have a garden of fruit trees and all that kind of stuff, that's what he's tending. So he tends sycamore trees, something like that. He's an orchard. I don't know what a professional orchard guy is, but that's what, okay. So that's what he's basically saying. I'm not a professional prophet. I don't actually earn my bread here. And remember, there's kind of a reference to that beforehand when he was making fun of these guys, the false prophets. If you feed them, they'll say anything you want as long as you keep their bellies fed. So Amaziah is assuming that about Amos. Oh, he's here. He's making money. So go to your own place and make your own living. And Amos is saying, no, I'm not. I'm not a prophet, okay? So verse 15, Vayikacheni Adonai me'acharei hatzon, Vayomer Eli Adonai, le'kinave el ami Yisrael. Okay, Vayikacheni, see from lakach, simple call. Adonai took me from behind the flock. All right, that's similar language to when David is talking about how Yahweh chose him behind the flock. He took me from behind the flock, and he said, Eli, to me. Namely, Yahweh said to me, Lech, there's from Halak again, go prophesy. So again, you see this combination of two imperatives with following Lech without any conjunction or anything between them. So go prophesy. All right, to my people Israel. Okay, again, notice the my people Israel. See how he didn't put a preposition in between them, as you'll sometimes see. So he wants to kind of you to see both of those together. All right. Vata shema devar Adonai ato omer lo tinavei al Yisrael velo tatif al beit Yitzchak. Okay. And now hear the word of the Lord. You say. Notice a participle. You say, or you are saying, Lo tinave, do not prophesy against Israel. And do not again preach tatif. Everybody see that this is a first nun from nataf. And it is a hifil form. Everybody see the infixed yud. All right. And do not preach. In the call form, it means to drop or drip like honey dripping. All right. But in the hifil, it's used in context with nave again. So do not prophesy against Israel and do not preach against the house of Isaac. Okay? Lakain, therefore, thus says Adonai, Ishtaka ba'ir tizne u vaneka, u venoteka ba'cherv yipolu ve'ad mataka ba'chevel teh. Techulak, vata al adama, temae tamut, veYisrael kalo yigle me'al ad mato. So notice that Amos doesn't exactly shrink from Amaziah's threat or warning or suggestion that he leaves the country. So he prefaces it by saying, hey, look, I'm not a professional prophet. Yahweh sent me to give this message. All right? And verse 16 is interesting because, so now, see, here's the conclusion that he's coming to. Va'ata, listen to the word of the Lord. So he just kind of continues, all right? You keep saying, don't prophesy, don't preach against the house of Israel. Lakain, therefore, okay, now remember Lakain, what usually follows will be some kind of declaration or command, and so here it comes. Therefore, thus says the Lord, Ishtecha, your wife. So now, I don't know if you could get any more personal than yourself, but here, you know, your wife in the city, Tizneh, will become a prostitute. Zana, to be a prostitute. So again, notice the word order. Your wife in the city will be a prostitute. So the verb, the action, kind of comes last. What about my wife? Oh, in the city, will become a prostitute. And probably referring to Bethel, you know. Uvaneka, uboy, and your sons, Uvenoteka, and your daughters with the sword Yipolu will fall from not fall. Okay? Ve'ad mataka, and your land, namely here it's talking about your ground, your soil, with a chevel, with a rope, boundary line, with a boundary rope, techulak, will be divided. Chalak means to divide. Notice you have a pu'al here, to be divided. Okay? So again, notice the word order. The subject's first. Your wife in the city will become a prostitute. And your sons and your daughters with the sword will fall. And your land with the rope will be divided. See, so notice the syntax. It's just kind of marching out. Boom, boom, boom. And, I mean, you could almost lay it out, one, two, three kind of thing. Okay, so it's a kind of a regular syntax that he's giving you. Ve'ata, and you, upon Adama Teh Me'ah, upon an unclean land or unclean ground, tamut, will die. So again, see the word order is still the same. Your wife, your sons, your daughters, your land, and finally you will die on unclean land.
And why is it unclean land?
Well, because it will have been polluted by foreigners. Okay. You know, everything's going to be desecrated.
There's nothing syntactically. That's just contextual.
Oh, no, the temeah means unclean.
Oh, temeah.
Land, temeah, I'm sorry.
I got it.
Tameh. So this is an adjective, tameh, and so notice it's feminine because adama is feminine.
Got it.
Land, unclean, you will die. And Israel, here's the same construction, galo, yigla, and Israel most certainly will go into captivity, me'al admato, from off the land. Just notice that when he's concluding his thought, he switches the syntax a little. So he starts with subject, but now he puts the verb next and finishes up. So you kind of get this sense of ending of the pronouncement here. Very often you'll have a switch in syntax or verb form or something like that in order to help you divide thoughts. I mean, and we do the same thing in English all the time. If you're giving a series, the last member of a series is a little different. So again, kind of just notice the syntactical switches and stuff. It kind of adds a little fun to your reading as you're reading this. So, yeah, devastating prophecy right there. Okay, any questions or thoughts?
But your Ishaka, but your, is there any usage for the faith being sign for apposition? Or so, for example, the city being his wife, his phrase, the wife, referring to the city.
Right, so that function of bait.
It's a prepositional phrase grammatically, but is there a...
Right. Well, bait does function. I mean, bait sometimes functions that way, but the only way you would have to be interpreting according to the context. And it's usually that bait of essence. So something like Yahweh or Adonai is a helper to you. So then sometimes you have the bait there.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have this essential identification... I don't know if you need to do that here for any reason, because especially in the context he's talking about his sons and daughters and everything most personal to him in the rest of the verse.
Yeah, because the question would be, as he's talking about the citizens of the city
right.
at that point,
right.
his personal kids.
Right. See, to me, I think he's talking about his personal kids, okay. especially since it's singular all the way. That's how I've taken it. And it seems easier to me. Okay. Very good. Why don't we stop here, and we will start with chapter 8, which is also interesting because there's another vision yet and wordplay. And so we'll start at chapter 8 next week. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.